Leviticus 7, verse 22 through 38, these are God's words. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally, and the fat of what is torn by wild beasts, may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal of which men offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, the person who eats it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether a bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people." Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to Yahweh shall bring his offering to Yahweh from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offerings made by fire to Yahweh. The fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before Yahweh. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar. But the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Also the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by a statute forever. This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offerings made by fire to Yahweh on the day when Moses presented them to minister to Yahweh as priests. Yahweh commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecrations, and the sacrifice of the peace offering, which Yahweh commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to Yahweh in the wilderness of Sinai. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, the Lord has been giving instruction first to Israel generally about the sacrifices, and then he turned and spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons." There are three sections. The first two addressed to Israel generally. In the first section, which is up through chapter 3, he concluded with a warning not to eat fat or blood. In the second section, now not the three great sacrifices, which were chapter 1, 2, and 3, you remember the ascension and the tribute and the peace, but the second section covering the sin offering, one of the main points is that the Lord has provided priests who make atonement, and that the Lord himself does the forgiving. And so there is the priest who applies the blood and offers the fat. And so there's this the fat and the blood, the fat and the blood idea that that runs at the end or as a conclusion to each of these sections. And now in the third section, where he has addressed the priests, from chapter 6, verse 8 to chapter 7, verse 21, he's especially talked about his provision for the priests of their portion. But he comes now at the end, and he turns from addressing the priests, and we can see in verse 23 and verse 29 of our passage that he's again addressing the children of Israel generally. And he combines these two conclusions, the fat and the blood for the Lord alone, and a portion for the priests. But this time, the portion is not from the sin offering, from which the worshiper could not eat, but only the priests. It's a portion that is from the peace offering. And so the Lord is giving to the priests part of what is generally the worshiper's, teaching them to see God's anointed as set apart for their good, and to view the anointed priest with gratitude, which of course is all the more precious for us, because our anointed priest is the Lord Jesus. So he's concluding another section here. This is a big conclusion in the book of Leviticus. He's about to move on to the consecration of these priests in chapter 8 and 9. So he begins with what's reserved for the Lord, the fat of the ox, the sheep, and the goat. And not only when they were sacrificing, but in any other situation, even if, you see in verse 24, the animal that dies of its own, or the animal that is torn by wild beasts, every time there was an ox or a sheep or a goat to be eaten, even outside of the sacrificial system, the sacrifices that God was giving them by which to draw near to Him, they would be reminded that God has provided for them. God has provided for them the ascension. God has provided for them the peace. God has provided for them atonement. And oxen, sheep, and goat then were special for that reason. And they were never to eat the fat from those animals. And he's added, of course, for them more meaning to the fact that you must never eat the blood of a bird or a beast. You remember all the way back in Genesis 9, we weren't to eat blood because the life of the animal is in the blood. We weren't to think of ourselves as getting life from animals, but life from God. But now, the blood of these animals has become more precious because of the hand-leaning ceremony in which he gives the worshiper to identify with the animal and see the application of God bringing the blood of their substitute, the blood that stands for them, that is, as it were, their life, into contact with his altar, into contact with his tabernacle, applying the blood, as it were, to the representation of himself. And so every time they ate any meat of any kind, they wouldn't eat the blood, and they would remember that one of the reasons we don't eat the blood is because the Lord brings us near by a substitute whose blood is shed instead of ours, so that the us, the version of ourselves that is banished from God's presence, is dead, and there is a life with God that God has provided or is providing by way of a substitute. And of course, the scripture tells us that ultimately this cannot be the blood of bulls or goats. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus with whom we are united. But by reserving the blood from all of the animals and the fat from the ox and the sheep and the goat, God would give them to be continually remembering that he has brought them near in Christ. And don't we need to be continually reminded? Well, we can do better, of course, than not eating fat or not eating blood, as far as continual reminder that the Lord has brought us near in our substitute, because our substitute is the Lord Jesus, and he is not dead but alive, and he always makes intercession for us, and we always come to God through him. And so one of the most important ways that we apply this passage in our lives is by this continual habit of prayer, which the more that we build it, not just in these set times, which praise God, we have moments that we set apart just for worship, and praise God we come to him through Christ in those times. But the more you pray in the midst of the day, the more you share and take your joys to God with thanksgiving to Christ, the more in every action, in every effort you take your need for help to God in a petition through Christ. The more when anxiety comes or there's something you're concerned about or something happens to you and it's painful or grievous in some way, you bring that cry to God through Christ. The more continuously you'll be reminded God has brought you near to Himself through the Lord Jesus. We have the Lord Jesus who has been sacrificed and is alive, and He teaches us to view ourselves also as living sacrifices by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of Romans 12. So we see what's reserved for the Lord. We also see what's reserved for the priests. Not only the different portions, especially of the trespass and the sin offering that we saw in that section and in the section where the Lord was addressing the priests, but even from the peace offering, so that when the worshiper comes to the climax of his worship, he's ascended, he's brought his tribute, he gets to eat from the same table, he's brought into table fellowship with God. The breast portion and the thigh portion are reserved for the priest that God has provided, who administers all these things for him. And if we're grateful for our priest, we're eager for him to receive his portion. So the Lord, having given us now His own Son, our Lord Jesus, as the priest, we're even more eager for Him to receive His portions. So you had this ritual where when the priest was going to put the fat offering on the altar, he'd raise it up as a wave offering and put it on the altar. But he would also raise up the breast portion that was his. That's what's called a wave offering, the root of the word coming from the idea of raising it up. And then I don't know why they use the phrase heave offering, which has continued now. It's just another word for contribution. And so there's the raising up of the breast portion, and then there's this handing over from the worshiper to the priest of the thigh portion, and you see how the portions that are the priests are being given from the Lord in the raising and from the worshiper in the contribution. And there's this desire then from God, and that He's teaching to the person who's drawing near to God to desire for the priest to get his portion. How marvelous that the Lord Jesus, who has loved us and given Himself for us, and He's provoked in us our love for Himself, that He instructs us then to desire that the Lord Jesus would get His portion, that the Lord Jesus would get the pleasure of God in His mediatorial work. You remember the scripture talking about how He grew in wisdom and favor. Wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. Truly He is worthy of our delight in Him and His Father's delight in Him. But there was coming a day that the Lord Jesus would do the great thing that most delighted His Father. And He says, "For this reason the Father loves me, that I lay down my life and that I take it up again. I have authority to lay it down. No one takes my life from me. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up." And so there is this there's this instruction here that begins in a small way when the priests are just the sons of Aaron, to desire that the priest who administers God's salvation, God's bringing you near, God's atoning for your sin, God's bringing you to Himself with tribute, God's fellowship with you, that the priest who administers all those things for you, and particularly who makes the atonement for you, that he would receive his portion. And we desire that he would receive his portion. Now, verse 34, verse 35, verse 36, give the priest not just a portion in meat but a portion in his place. Each of these verses, it's almost like a triple conclusion. When he says, for the breast of the raising and the thigh of the contribution, I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices their peace, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons and the children of Israel by a statute forever. He uses that, by a statute forever. And then the consecrated portion this is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons, etc. in the day when Moses presented them to minister to Yahweh's priests. Also is a summary sort of statement. And then again, verse 36, you have the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. And so there's this this climax of even the three conclusions in this, the day that he anointed them. And the word anointed there is a word that you would recognize. It's the word from which we get Messiah, which translated into Greek is the word from which we get the word Christ. They didn't just get meat, they got the honor of being anointed in anticipation of and advance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's this reminder then, verse 37 and 38, that this provision of the anointed who would bring them near to God or administer to them, God's bringing them near to themselves, was yet another part of what Yahweh did in the wilderness of Sinai. And so you have that emphasis at the beginning and end of verse 38, which Yahweh commanded Moses on Mount Sinai in the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to Yahweh in the wilderness of Sinai. Here at Sinai, the Lord had provided the completion of their salvation. He didn't just bring them out of Egypt, he brought them to himself. Here at Sinai, the Lord had given them his law. The one who had saved them out of the house of bondage gave them commandments that they might know how to conduct themselves as his people and what pleases him. Here at Sinai, the Lord had provided the tabernacle, a place where God might dwell in the midst of his people. Here at Sinai, God had provided the sacrifices, the offerings, the bringing near. So not only might God dwell among his people, but they might be safe and might be able to come near. Here at Sinai, God had provided the ascension and tribute and peace sacrifices or offerings. And he had also provided atonement and forgiveness for their ongoing sin that would cleanse the conscience so that they would be able to make use of that. And now the last provision. Here at Sinai, the Lord had provided priests. And it is to these priests whom the Lord has provided that the book of Leviticus will now turn, especially in chapter 8. But we can see that in all of these things, what the Lord has provided is Christ. Christ is our deliverance from sin. Christ is our being joined to God and brought to him himself. Christ is God's dwelling with us. Christ is the way by which we can come near. Christ is the way by which our consciences can be cleansed in order to make use of coming near. Christ is our priest who administers all of these things to us by his Spirit. And so up through these first seven chapters of Leviticus, what a book that is rich with the Lord Jesus Christ as God's providing himself to us in him, and God's providing our way to him by him by way of himself in the Lord Jesus. Shouldn't we desire that he would have his portion, that he would have his bride for which he died, that he would have her sanctified, that he would have the honor of all the nations, that he would have every knee bow and every tongue confess that he would be praised with the name that is above all other names, that everyone would say, Jesus Christ is Yahweh, to the praise and glory of his Father, which of course he desires most of all. So let us learn from this many things, but perhaps most of all, to desire that Christ would get what is his. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Leviticus so far. We thank you for the whole of it. But we thank you for what you have given us to learn. We do pray that we would learn this continual mindfulness that you trained into your people by the rules concerning the different animals that were used in the system for drawing near to you. And we do pray that you would make us to see how glorious is your provision of yourself to us in your Son, our Lord Jesus, and that you would stir up our hearts with love and thankfulness for him and to him, desiring that he would have his portion and be recognized as the anointed and the consecrated and receive all that he has deserved in his saving work and redeeming work, and both in his accomplishing it and now in his applying it. Grant it, we ask, for his sake, and in his name we ask it. Amen.